podcast.
KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
All right. Chest out, stomach's in. We're going for it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Keller podcast, Central London. Central as you need to be. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. If you haven't checked out the Kellervision app, you're clearly not maximising on your phone's potential. Free download, Android, iPhone, you know how to roll. Where to begin? Here we go. We got another one in. That rhymed. We have a gentleman of street art culture, but definitely comes from a widely worlded background of graffiti. Mr. Sen's inside the place. How are you, brother?
Good, man. Yeah,
it's nice wicked to be here, to man. See you. Yeah. We deliberately kept our voices relatively quiet while I was shuffling around here trying to figure out the rights and wrongs of live recording.
Yeah, man.
Where are you travelled from, brother? Where are you travelled from?
Crystal Palace, southeast, man. Yeah. Bit of a trot. Easy on the overground now, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Has the current climate, has it served you right or wrong? Has it...
Well, without getting stuck down the rabbit hole too much, man, because every time you speak to someone, it's like, oh, man, it's end up getting dark and like depressing.
Depends who you're talking to, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been challenging, of course, but, you know, I've been lucky. You know, I've had a lot of studio work that's come in and I've just made stuff happen, you know.
Yeah.
Like last year, you know, obviously at the beginning of the year, I had loads of international trips and all booked up and then it all got cancelled. And then I was like, you know what, I'm not going to just sit around for the year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make shit happen, you know. Yeah. So did lots of murals in my local area, which was cool. Do you know what I mean? So... ended up being a super busy year for me last year, man. So it was good. Whoa. I'm not one to just sit around and moan about how bad things are. You just got to, I just adapted.
It certainly doesn't look it from your social media that you are super active.
So yeah, I just adapted and just got busy and just, as I said, just did lots of cool stuff around London and around my local area, which was really, really nice, man.
Do you think, I mean, first of all, I think, as I was saying before when we first met, look, creatively, R&R world, it's almost like we prepare for the worst in a lot of cases, you know. Things like this that happen in our lives are pretty frequent, maybe not to the worldwide, you know, extremity of it all. But you know, I mean, we work within those boundaries.
Of course, and like, you know, there's always challenges. Jobs get cancelled. You've got to adapt all the time. If you're, you know, trying to make a living from being an artist, man, you know, you're always throwing these kind of curveballs, isn't it?
So, yeah,
you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's got to be in your kind of DNA, man. It's like, right, shit, I need to get some money.
Yeah.
It's hustling, isn't it, basically? You know what I mean? Professional hustlers, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, totally. Emergency, was it, rapid response unit on the inevitable that could go wrong. It's like, we're there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's what I've been doing.
And working from the front end is, if like shit, it's actually going to go bad. It's like you know, recalibrated and got it all together, which is fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I know. Obviously, you know, I'm hopeful. Going to get, you know, out of this little island at some point this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you know, I'm starting to miss my travels now, man. You know what I mean? I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sick of my studio right now. So.
Well, you know.
You know what I mean?
And some of us aren't blessed with the comforts of an open view swimming pool with a sauna and all the surroundings that everyone thinks that might be occurring through the podcast world are not happening. It's hard, isn't it? It's a funny old time to be working.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely.
Brother, look, I got a lot of messages from people when I mentioned that you were going to come on the show.
Okay. First
of all, it was the about time too kind of tone to the text. But people that aren't necessarily into graff street art, they know of you and your artwork, which I took as like, all right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very few people, you know, attract and climb that commercial ladder like that, but still hold a heavy degree of integrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that integrity is really important to me. You know, when you said like commercial ladder, first of all, I'm like, for me, the word commercial is like, because I don't do much commercial work.
No, not when in the commercial.
I
mean, from an audience point.
I mean, but obviously I do paint a lot on the street, so people see my work and obviously they recognise it.
Not from a product point of view.
So, you know, so being authentic to my roots and to the scene, you know, if you call, in this day and age, what do you call yourself? People say you're a street artist, but how many people are actually out there painting on the street every week? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not many of them. No. So definitely authentic in that respect, what I mean?
Legit.
So whether it's freezing cold, like right now, whatever, I'm still out there, you know, doing stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? For free, on the streets, for the community, for people.
Yeah.
Not getting paid, you know what I mean?
And I
just
think,
doing shit to inspire people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People, they think they miss the marker a lot of times where they see these one hit, one off situations where you've got to be like, oh, that's got to be a corporate, quote unquote, corporate thing. But people don't operate like that. If you're passionate and you love the thing you're doing, you're just out there all the time. You're not even thinking about it's just it's habitual, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the funny, that's when you're doing stuff like that on the streets.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. People are not from, you know, they're kind of from that kind of scene or from that way of thinking, are like, what, you're doing this for free? Why would you do that? So you always get, what do you mean you're not getting paid? I'm like, it's not all about money, man, you know what I mean?
Of course,
money, you know, money's important, but I'm doing this for, you know, to inspire kids, next generation, to inspire people who don't go to art galleries and stuff. That's what street art is, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know
and
I mean?
Individuality, that's the other thing that's super important to pump into the psyche of upcoming, you know, graph writers and artists, street artists, you know. You hold such a, I mean, even prior to the realism, you know, the characters that, and people that you kind of morph and make it, it's almost like funk. It's like this whole kind of funk style that you got. Even your writing, you know, was very individualistic.
Of course, man. I mean, like for me, that was one of the most important, cornerstones of graffiti culture, as being original.
Mm.
You know, it was about being unique, not biting. You know, that's one of the most important things, which has been lost in recent years. So, you know, ever since I was young, that was always, I was like, right, I've got to be different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, which was a lot easier back then because you didn't have all this social media. You couldn't see. Yeah. So you weren't literally saturated with other people's work in your face.
Yeah, that's, you know, right. I mean? That's just then.
Do you know what I mean? So it was easier just to, you know, put the subway art aside and just get your sketchbook out and just draw using your own imagination.
Yeah,
now you say that word imagination to kids these days, and they're like, what? What's that? imagination? In my own head? I'm like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like,
No, not plagiarise. We want a video.
So, you know, so that's always been instilled in me, you know what I mean? It's important, a very important thing. So that's what, and I've held on to that, you know, and that's why I just kept on pushing and pushing and trying things out till all of a sudden, boom, I got this really unique style, man. You know what I mean? So, and I feel blessed that I got that, because a lot of people don't even, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's an organic thing.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, say, well, I'm going to get a style. You know, it has to happen through just trial and error, and some people never even get there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Some people never even get to the point when they've got a recognisable style.
Yeah, I feel
and it's
that.
Kind of half the effort as being an artist. Once you've got your style, it's like, oh, shit. I'm kind of almost there now, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
You know?
It's interesting you say that. Anyway, look, let me just catch up for anybody that's just jumping in here and does not know about the Sands Man. Boy, like, to describe his style, I mean, on various mediums across the city, the stylistic, colourful, photographic, yet almost got this kind of blaxploitation poster-looking crazy graffiti style that, you know, I'm commercialising it here, but you know what I'm saying? It's got a real identity and a real tone and depth to it. You've seen the pictures at the start. If you're watching the video, you know the deal. Where did it all begin, now, brother? Where did it all begin for you?
Well, I mean, if we go way, way back, you know, even before Graf, you know, I was always into art, but, you know, there was nothing that ever kind of clicked. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was very blessed, you know, like my parents were into art as well, and it took me to galleries and stuff. This is like when I was like super young. Do you know what I mean? But and nothing really. I liked it, but and I was scribbling around the house, but nothing really kind of, you know, grabbed me. And then obviously, we're talking early mid '80s, and then and then obviously we have the classic story, the Bible, Subway art book comes along, which transforms so many people's careers across Europe. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, wow, you see that book? It's like, this is it. You know what I mean?
This changes everything.
This changes everything. And then obviously it wasn't just the book, it was the music. Starting to listen to Mike Allen on Capital Radio. And it's like, what is the music? It's the whole culture, wasn't it? You know, it's the whole culture.
When he says Mike Allen, we already know the caliber that we're talking about here. This is like the levels. we're only dealing levels here, you know?
So, you know, it was just everything, man. Mm. You know, it was just so fresh and original, the whole culture, you know what I mean? So there was nothing like it. So that was it, you know, that was it. And then, you know, as you know, with hip-hop, people chose their path. You were either, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to be a DJ, I'm going to be a dancer. Yeah. And obviously I was into art anyway, so I was like, right, I'm a graffiti artist. That's it, that's my thing. Do you know what I mean? And then that was it, man. And then once I started, you know, messing around with cans, I was just obsessed with aerosol art, I suppose. Do you know what I mean? You know, it was like just messing around with cans, different techniques and stuff. That was my thing, you know. It was, some people were like, right, I'm into the bombing, you know. My thing was, you know, so when I say graffiti, I call myself a graffiti artist rather than a writer.
That's the ticket.
Yeah. Because I was more interested in doing full pieces, full color. Do you know what I mean? They were the things that really, it was like, I want to do that. I want to do letters, characters, everything, backgrounds. You know what I mean? So even from an early age, I was always trying techniques and always trying to, you know, like mastering the shine and stuff like that. So my work's always been about techniques. Do you know what I mean? Which, if you look at my stuff now, you can see.
Yeah, so 1,000%. You know, so many questions, man. I've got so many questions.
So that's why it's always been about the art of the spray can, which I've been really focused on. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. Again, I've got a lot of questions here on this, so specifically tailored to you. All right, so when you adopt a certain medium like graph, and I'm only asking you this because of the like I said, the contrast and depth and styles that you bring, it's almost like you're using the spray can. It's like going from acoustic to electric. And you're experimenting with the different parameters within the use of paint, in the same way a guitarist would. He would fuck with the amp, give the amp some distance to the mic, turn up the fucking gains on the amp. You've got all the kind of knobs and buttons and, you know, wah-wahs, etc. You're doing it in the same context. You're using various techniques that create that atmospheric background. Then you're getting really into the details of like, was this like a transferable skill that you had seen growing up, going to these exhibitions, or was it anything that you were doing at school that you were like, oh, I can do that with spray paint?
No, not really. There wasn't one particular artist or one particular thing that I'd seen. You know, I was always interested in looking at lots of different artists and kind of techniques. So, you know, which was an issue because there were so many, you know, there was obviously, if I look back now, there's still similarities, you know, like I was always, when I was doing, you know, I found some outlines the other day from like super early outlines from when I was like 8 or 9 years old, you know, and there was still little bits in there, like, you know, like the, I'm trying to think what it was, but, you know, just like the details and the really straight lines and you know, so there's little bits that have continued through, you know, in my art career. But really, it's just about, you know, because there was a point where I did everything, you know. I was like doing realism, then I could do wild styles. And, you know, what do they say? Kind of Mark, was it? What's the kind of that saying about being the?
I'm not going to say it on this podcast, but I know what you mean because it's not fucking true.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, and I never really found my thing, you know. So then, my style was basically all of a sudden just combining all of those influences and experiences together, and they just clicked together like a melting pot, and it just all of a sudden it just worked.
And again, going back to what people go through in their creative journey, a lot of people don't have those kind of epiphanies like that, where all of a sudden, you know, synergy brings all these elements that you're fond of or really good at.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah.
What was that like when you suddenly were like, hold on, this is the platform for me, this is the medium for me, and I couldn't
I mean, it was, I mean, when I first started, when I first started doing the faces... You know, I mean, I'd always been interested in, you know, portraits, but, you know, they're difficult, man. Do you know what I mean? I remember when I first, you know, I'd been doing pieces for a long, long time, and my pieces were pretty abstract. Do you know what I mean? They were pretty crazy, my wild style pieces, man. You know what I mean?
The ones I've seen over the years, symmetrical. Always
yeah, there was a
symmetrical.
Lot of symmetry. Yeah, that's yeah. what. Yeah, there was a lot of symmetry going on and stuff.
A lot of heavy use of patterns and
yeah,
just to love all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it was quite a niche thing. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of people were like, "Whoa!" Mm. You know, they just couldn't get their heads around it. Do you know what I mean? It was like it was almost too advanced.
You couldn't.
Do you know
read
what I mean?
Entirely.
It was almost too advanced.
Yeah, yeah. You had to know the style of the
yeah,
the
yeah,
light
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were
but that's what wild style was about, anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Standard.
You need to know the culture. That's what I love. That's what I love about Wild Style.
It's like it's
so
a code.
To read it, it's a code, exactly.
Love it.
So, you know, that's why that was always my thing. Do you know what I mean? But it was so far, you know, it was so futuristic and so out there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I got to the point where I was like, you know, just wanted a bit more appreciation. I thought I've got to try something a little bit different. Do you know what I mean? But still keeping that element, you know what I mean? Still keeping that. So I started doing the faces and then, you know, having the kind of wild style letters in the background and, you know, and then I did, and then one day, you know, someone said to me, shit, man, he goes, that's different, man.
Yeah.
You need to stick with that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, okay. And that was it. Just needed someone to tell me, you know, they saw it on the street and they were like, whoa, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got something there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that was it. And then after that, I was like, right, okay, well, I'm going to go for it. When somebody, you know, it's like, all right. And then that was it.
Yeah.
Then it just started blowing up, man. I just started painting loads and loads. I was painting on the street in London like two, three times a week. You know, I was going crazy for a few years, man.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do.
You got to put it in.
You got to put the work in, man.
Yeah.
People always say that to me. Oh, how did you get to that level? It's like, well, just work.
Yeah.
It's just simple, just hard work. Ain't no shortcut again, man. Mm. You just got to put the graft in, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The amount of times, you know, that is like that's that 70%.
Yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
It's the work rate. It's how far do you turn it around? Because, talent is subjective.
Yeah.
But quantity is undeniable, right?
Go.
And I just want to stick on your style, man, because, and again, I urge people to check it out. I'm not talking about anyway, this is an international artist here, but for real. The use of atmospherics and combined with the way in which you use the use of colours within the characters and the energy within the detail in the characters.
Yeah.
It's like there's an energy to it that's really hard to
the energy, well, a lot, you know, a lot of the energy that comes from the hip-hop culture thing as well, and it comes from music, man. You know, not a lot of people know. I'm a DJ as well, so, you know, music is very, very important. And you can, if you look at my work, you can see the rhythm, you can see the music.
Yes, that's right.
Do you know what I mean?
So that's where the funk comes from.
Yeah, that's where the funk is. Exactly. Exactly, man. So, you know, the two go hand in hand.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So when I'm painting, I have to have music on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that kind of get lost in the kind of in the vibe. And so there's that creates that kind of soul, that soul to my pieces. You know what I mean? And the kind of, you know, And, you know, I want, you know, when you look at my pieces, because when I'm painting them, I get lost in a work. Because it's all, when I paint, it's all freestyle.
What?
So I don't have, it's all in my head. So, which, when
no,
I'm doing, when I'm
no pre-paper, nothing.
Just the photograph. So I have the reference image. The rest of it is in my head, everything. So I like, I break it down in my head. And even on the big murals, even on like 150 foot high, that's the way I work. When people see me working, they're like, they're looking at me like I'm completely mad. They're like, where's your design? I'm like, it's up here, man. They're like, no, don't be, you're joke winding me up. I'm like, no. So people can't get with that. They can't understand it. And then, you know, once they realise that, they're like, wow. You know what I mean? But I can't work any other way because that's, again, that's my graph roots. That's how you, you know, okay, you might have a little rough outline, but you have to freestyle, man.
Okay, right. So, because I only know like a few people that do that level, on a this side of the pond level, I think.
Well, there's not many people who do it anywhere in the world.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Which is why...
I've been to festivals, there's been like 50 artists. I've been the only one not projecting.
That's, you know, mad. I mean?
And everyone's like, that's just you're the guy who doesn't project. Yeah. Surely it should be the other way around. Yeah. You know what I mean?
To my knowledge, the only other person I know that is, I don't think Arrow. I think Arrow kind
of... Yeah, yeah, he's Ken. And same. We're from the same... Yeah, the same time, same school, man. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So,
that's such an important thing, being able to freestyle, I think.
Without question. That's your battle instinct. That's your battle instinct.
Yeah. Another thing lost, though. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe not.
And you'd be surprised. No. But, you know, you'd be surprised because there's even quite a lot of old school dudes. And you're like, let's do it. And they're like, oh, you know, they...
I'm just blown away that is on every piece that I've ever seen of yours... Instagram or wherever, it's always...
Yeah, every piece is completely original, you know?
I can't...
A lot of people think, because I do a lot of black and white drawings as well, they think that they're the kind of drawings, but no, that's just me just freestyling on paper. But I just have a photograph and then the rest is... That's whatever happens. And that's, again, you know, for me, it's almost like... however big the wall is, it's like how I work on kind of canvas, and so every piece is a new adventure. Do you know what I mean? That's what keeps it interesting. Because if you're just copying something, and you see some people painting at the wall and they've got every colour marked out, it's like, that must be boring, man.
It is a bit filling the gaps.
It must be boring. You know, for me, it's fun because it's like you don't know what's going to happen. It's like, you know, that's the whole fun part of it.
Right, I'm going to have to get... you know what, mate? I'm going to have to get into this in a proper... Because, again, there's going to be people that are very familiar with your work that aren't entirely integrated in the hip-hop graffiti way of thinking. Right, so how do you break down in proportion what you're seeing mentally, seeing on the paper, getting on a wall that could be, like you say, 6 to 10 foot? How do you get that?
Well, of course, you know, like... So when you're scaling it out, there's... Well, you've got to remember, if you've grown up doing graffiti, you know, you've learned your draftsman skills.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
You're no longer the prospect. You've learned,
working out how big each letter is and stuff like that, you know, trying to fit your piece in a production. Whereas everyone, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All these little things. So already you know some basic tricks of where to place something on the wall.
Yeah.
You know? So that's already... my basic skills there. Then there's, you know, as you, yeah, painting big walls are another whole beast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a whole another level, yeah.
So, you know, you pick up, there's little tricks you pick up, do you know what I mean? Of course, to get it in to scale it up and stuff like that, you know. Mm. I use little kind of rough grids and stuff. You know, you have to when you're doing faces because they've got to be right.
Do you know what I mean?
You can't have... It's no good having a wonky face, man.
Especially...
You know, which obviously, when I started, there was lots of wonky faces. But, you know, so there's little tricks like that. But in terms of, like you say, in terms of, like, breaking it down and just getting busy, that's where the image comes in. So I spend a lot of time looking at photographs, you know, and it's the... The photograph is like the first inspiration. So I'm looking for unusual kind of, you know, unusual kind of lighting, unusual angles, you know, and I look at a lot of, I don't take my own photographs. I do sometimes, but mainly I work with photographers.
That's cool.
So I'm looking through stuff and then I hit them up on Insta, say, look, I love your stuff. Can I use this image?
Brilliant.
And then I just tag them in and we share it. You know what I mean?
That's
we
what
share
it should be.
Exactly. So
big shout out to those photographers as well. They don't get enough credit, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're out there getting them, you know, because a lot of writers don't bother doing it. They just take things and they're gone. You know, but to get a professional shot, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man, definitely. You know, so, and then once I've got that, you know, I can almost, it's almost like when I look at something, I almost just automatically break it down. I've got like a Spider-Man kind of brain,
mad.
You know, where it's like, I just break it down into this mad kind of psychedelic in my head. You know what I mean? I can just see the shapes, the graph shapes in a picture. Do you know what I mean? That's why, you know, with the feet, it's all about the cheekbones and stuff like that, because it's,
is that where you start? Is there a starting point with the faces?
Yeah, definitely, man. As I say, it's got to be a little bit unusual. You know, I don't do straight on normally. Mm. I do kind of side angles. And I do look for those letter shapes in the portraits. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't escape it. Once, if that's your, you know, that's how you've started and that's your roots, letters will always be with you, man. It's like,
When you start breaking down that, when you see the picture for the first time, you start breaking down. I kind of want a David Attenborough narration moment inside your head. What now? Sensors, recalibrating,
one day configuring. That'd be the technology, they'd be able to.
Yeah, that's it. What about colours, though? So from a colours point of view, you know.
Wow, that's... Okay, so obviously, again, there is definitely a link to the, you know, early graph kind of stuff, you know, mixing those kind of colours which just shouldn't go together, like pinks and oranges.
Which is fucking great. That's what I love about graph, man.
But, you know, and that was because, like, that was basically... You had to get paint, however means.
Yeah, yeah.
And you didn't know what colours you were going to get and you had to make them work.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's that kind of thing. So I've always had that fascination with making colours that just shouldn't go together work.
Mm.
But not many people can do it, and it takes a long time. Again, many, many years to all of a sudden... I mean, so many years of, like, remember sitting there, you know, trying to pick colours for a piece. Like, oh, this is hard, man. And again, it's just one day, it's just like, all of a sudden, it just clicked. It's like, you know what? I know what to do now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give that secret away, but...
No, there's certain things that we can...
You've got to learn yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Learn yourself. God damn it. But I get you.
But it's hard
to use
so many colours, because I use...
I can imagine.
Man, I'm used like 60 different bloody colours or whatever.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is hard. And it's a bit, you know, confusing at times.
Is it like a spaghetti incident?
Yeah,
it is.
That's the hardest thing. When you start a mural, it's getting the colours right. It takes a couple of days to get the whole kind of the flow of the colours right, you know?
Here's a question for you, actually, mainly because we all go through it. Have you ever got to that point in the piece where you're just like, shit, man, I don't even know. Hold on, I've really misjudged this colour scheme of... Oh.
Yeah. Every time. Every time, because I'm like every time.
So
the first, So the first, I mean, you know, the first day or two, it's like, oh, what am I doing? This is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Then it comes. But that, that takes confidence. Like this, I'm back to the freestyle thing.
Mm.
It takes many, many years to have the confidence to be able to freestyle, especially on a big scale.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen overnight, man. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And it is really, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about confidence and it's about, you know, years and years of practice.
Repetition, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me get you the bottle opener because you've got...
Yeah, man.
Sorry, just had to get a bottle opener. My bad. Bad hosting, Kells. It's a mad one when you think about the dynamics and ways in which these things come together, like the colours with the energy and movement of the picture you're doing. Like, anyone can do a still thing, but when you give it that edge of like, that's moving somewhere. That's an energy in it. You know, that's a really hard thing to put across and to freestyle that as well. But then maybe that's what creates the energy.
Yeah, of course. It has to have that spontaneity. Do you know what I mean? It has to have that. You can't design that on a computer. You can't design that energy.
Mm.
It's just not going to work. It's not going to be authentic. Again, back to being authentic. Mm. When you look at it, it's just not going to look. You know what I mean? It's just, and it's the same with music as well. You know when something's just been done off the cuff, when something's freestyle. Yeah. You can feel it. You can hear it.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about hip hop, we're talking about, you know, rhymes, or we're talking about techno or anything. You can tell when something's just got that loose flow and just been. I think you can tell.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that's, and it's the same. Same with art, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I love about Graph and the medium in which it's on is like the street. It's raw. People are watching you. You're doing the thing live. You know, that in itself is a movie.
Yeah.
But the outcome, the final thing, you know, it's there in the raw.
Mm.
And there's nothing else like that.
Yeah, man. Nothing else. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's it, man. That's it. That's what it's all about.
What's your influences? What are your influences?
Well, of course, there's all of the, you know, London kind of graph guys, you know what I mean? The Chrome Angels, obviously. Obviously. You know, you can't not be influenced by them if you come from London.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh. And then there's obviously the guys that didn't get so much recognition, non-stop artists.
Oh, yep, of course.
There's so many crews, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many crews. So, you know, and I was lucky. I lived, you know, I was in South East London, but I could get the train up into London, you know. I was like, it was 20 minutes to Victoria from where I lived. So I was able to go and see, you know, like Covent Garden, those places as a young kid.
Oh, so you were there when it was popular?
I wasn't painting, but I was, you know, I was like 8 years old. I was watching. So I could go and do that, you know what I mean, which was amazing to live near London, you know what I mean, and been able to do that. So, you know, that's... they're the obvious influences. But then, obviously, at the same time, there's obviously all the New York stuff because everybody was influenced by that. So, in the Bible, you know. But in particular, there was, you know, like Dondi, you know, because he was doing a little bit different stuff as well, you know. He was one of the first people I saw when he was doing his canvas work, when he was actually using, like, bits of card and tape and stuff, you know. So he was using that... you know, he was using stuff like that back in the early 80s, you know what I mean? So, which is why, when people get a bit funny, oh, you use tape and stuff, I was like, man, come on, people have been messing around with stuff like that for years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? From the beginning.
Tweaking that amplifier, moving those speakers and mics,
exactly. It's just that, you know, you're still using spray paint, it's just another little thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, So they're the kind of obvious kind of graph influences. And then, you know, I spent a lot of years, because I went to art college in Croydon, and I did a lot of, spent a lot of years doing kind of abstract painting, you know. So,
nice.
you can see, again, you look at my work, you can see a lot of the, within a lot of negative space and stuff, you know. I love my abstract stuff, you know, as well.
That's one of the things that that gravitated me to this stuff was the way in which the use of space...
Yeah,
and that they're abstract. Just the flares and the atmospherics that you create.
And that is from years of looking at abstract work, you know. So and painting it as well. So that's a love of mine, you know. And I always think, you know. So eventually I'll get bored of the faces, you know. And I think, you know, really I'm an abstract kind of painter. Really, that's what, you know.
But you can't,
you know, and that influenced my letters as well before, you know, they were quite abstract as well. So space has always been important, composition, space, you know, that's... So I spent many years, you know, exploring different kind of techniques and mediums and stuff like that when I was at college, you know, so...
And you're into graphics, you like, you know...
I've never been into graphics, man.
Interesting.
I'm not, you know, most graffiti artists... became like graphic designers, man.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I've never into computers. So I'm like super old school, which is a bit difficult now because, you know, people want full on colour designs of murals and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you best you're going to get is like a little sketch.
You're fucking with the wrong.
You know what I mean? You know, no, so I love that. I wish I had learned graphic design, but that's not my thing. No,
something to be said, though, and this definitely holds true to your your style and technique. I guess it kind of mirrors an 80s approach to sci-fi. Like, now with the technology being so on point, it doesn't leave much of the imagination to fill in the blanks. You know, when you see an 80s horror flick, it's almost like, first of all, how the fuck did some... Why would someone make something so gross? But it's almost like the Jaws effect, where you don't actually see the shark, but you know it's there. And there's something about, you know, your work that the kind of... the energy of it and the way in which you approach it, there is a subtleties that allow the mind to fill in the blanks. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, that's for me, that's what art is for. Art, you know, like, it's not just copying what you see, you know, it's creating something different, a different interpretation. You know, that's why I hated art college, because it was like, you know, or even art at school, because it was like, you know, I want you to draw this fruit bowl exactly as it is, you know. It was always about who could draw the most realistic. And that was like, no, that's not art for me. That's what a camera's for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what a camera's for. You know, I want to look at something and just get transported.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what I try and create in my work.
For sure.
You know, you look at it and you drift off. You're in another realm. You're in a dream world. You know, you're escaping reality, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's what I've always tried to create, you know, and that's what I want to see when I look at a picture.
And
I want it to take me somewhere.
And
do you know what I mean? Not like, oh, that's a nice, you know, picture of, I don't know, a hill or something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and that's why I never got on with traditional art teaching because of that.
Yeah.
You know,
they
were like, you know, you need to know. I remember they were like, you know, you need to know exactly what you're doing. It's almost like you had to write an essay about something before you've even painted it. And I was like, no, I don't know what I'm doing until I'm painting it.
Yeah.
It's all part of the process. And they were like, no, you can't think like that. I was like,
I think I'll fucking warn.
That's what I'm saying. You know, that's the freestyle thing again, isn't it?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the freestyle thing.
Do you think markings of like to-dos and what to-dos in schooling and teaching, and especially graphics now, like they're rules made to be broken. If you ain't breaking them, then there's a problem.
Exactly. That's true.
Mm.
But it can put you off from an early age. They can really put you off.
Because they think that's it's the same with music, isn't it? So you can't really tame the arts.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's interesting, man. It's interesting.
How do you feel about the... let me rephrase that, because I think we all have the same opinion of it, good and bad. But there's something about when you see, graphically, you see your piece on a photo. Does it give you a third-party perspective, seeing it through the lens? When you're, say, for instance, because I love being in front of a piece, you know.
I
know I've landed in a city when I see a certain person's piece.
I'm like,
I'm actually in front of the guy that I've seen on Instagram.
It's
the one. But from an artist's point of view, does it help you to have a third party perspective on how electronics see your piece?
Not really. I mean, you know, I create my work. Again, this is going back to early kind of influence. You know, I paint my work so it looks better in the flesh. So, you know, which again was, you know, we didn't have photographs or social media about graffiti. You just have to go and find it, you know. And then when you found it, it was like, wow, you'd like touch the wall and look at the details and stuff like that. I still want that, you know, for people. You should see my wall, and it literally blow you away. Do you know what I mean? Some people paint for a screen, and then you get close up, and you're like, oh man, that's really scrappy.
I think for me, it is
about actually going to see it
and
feeling it and standing there, and you know.
Yeah.
So I don't think about. I mean, obviously, you have to think a little bit about the photograph, because once you've painted a piece, especially on the streets, it can be taken out
quick
overnight. You know what I mean? It can do, you know, it's like, it's a risk. You're leaving something down the streets. Anything can happen to it. You know, it can be gone. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So you do have to, you know, have a photograph of it because you've got to have a record of it.
Yeah.
So you do have to think about, you know, what would be a good angle. And you do have to think about the photograph. But it's definitely more about the, you know, seeing it in the flesh, that real experience for me.
And I feel what you're saying there, the telltale signs of technique. When you stand in front or you get close up to a wall, a piece, it separates the men from the boys, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. Definitely. It's true.
Shit gets real.
And I've been disappointed a lot of times.
Really?
You know?
By yours or other people's?
Other people's, right? Yeah. You know, and you're like, oh, that looks wicked. And then you get up close and you're like, man... Those lines.
Yeah, sloppy.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah. But then, you know, once you condense that down to a tiny little iPhone picture, then it looks super tight.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm staying on this for a second. Right, so...
And, you know.
I'd
always be the last one at the wall, just tightening up the lines and doing all these things. Like, what are you doing, man? I was like, that's important, man.
Yeah.
You know?
How deep the cut goes when you're in the piece. You're in it. It's there. You can't see. You've got like 10 foot above you. You got left and right, and you're right in the cut of this one thing. And you're matching piece by piece the detail and quality of each area. Does that not bamboozle you at any point?
No, I mean, of course, you know, some bits are going to be looser, you know, because that's all part of the freestyle thing. You know, you get some nice loose bits. Because it's about contrast, man. You can't just have one whole piece all the same energy, you know. You have to, like, it's about having the negative space, some really loose bits, some really tight bits. So, you know, it's just about balancing the energies on a wall, you know.
And then there's the energy of the doing it as well, when you're there and how risky the event of you doing it is as well,
right, of course. I mean, you know, that's, again, what people don't think about, especially in the big walls, you know, you're up on these big lifts or whatever, you're operating it yourself. I mean, you know, and then you're having to, and you know, I've been in situations, you've been like crazy high, flying around in the wind on this thing. It's, you know, it's
fuck
all you're thinking is death thoughts, and then you've got to create this like beautiful piece. You know what I mean? So it's a weird juxtaposition. Do you know what I mean? It's
beautiful, like, fear.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's crazy. I've been in some crazy situations, you know. And
what's the craziest situation you've been in?
There was a particular one in New York when it was like, it was crazy high. And it was really, really difficult. And it was just, I was just on my own up there and it was freezing cold. The wind was bashing around and I was up high. I had a real tight schedule. And it was just super stressful, man. You know what I mean?
Stressful as in, like, things were moving and you need...
It was the highest I'd ever painted before.
How high?
It was probably about 100. Yeah, it was about 150. So it was high. That is at the top point, you know. So
scaffolding,
so it was on a cherry picker. So you're basically in a cage and you're looking down, you've got this tiny thin little arm just holding you up, you know. It's not, which is just like moving around, you know. These things are safe, obviously. This machine costs thousands, but still, you've still got these crazy thoughts, man, you know. And it's just the pressure, everything, you know. It's not fun experience.
No. And are you controlling the cherry picker from up there?
You're controlling it as well. Yeah.
Yo. So,
and then you can get into situations. Like, I actually got into a situation at one point where I crushed my hand up against the wall about 100 foot up, man. And I was on my own and I just missed my knuckles. I could have broken my hand. And do you know what I mean? It's like, and I had to get myself down. And
what, up at 100 feet?
Just because I went too close, because it was a real tight turn to get to the wall, man, you know. And then and then you start to panic, and I'd have my hand trapped against the wall because I was holding on to the side, which was stupid.
Yeah.
And then you start to panic and then you forget how to control it.
Yeah, of course you do.
And then I pressed it closer to the wall to crush it even more because I was panicking. I pressed it the wrong way and it crushed it even more. And I was literally like yelling.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one could hear me, obviously. And then I had to work it, literally just get my hand. I just missed my knuckles and I was halfway through this mural, man. If I had broken my hand, that would have been
Yeah.
So anyway, that was not nice.
Please don't let me go out like this.
But that was like after 10 days of not having a break, 10 days of painting,
really?
10, 12 hours up every day. You know, so when you're talking about, it's the physical element of doing those big walls people don't think about. So it's not just mentally, it's physically, it's testing. Do you know what I mean? So,
I wouldn't even begin to imagine, but I fully appreciate it. You just don't put those things into consideration. And when you talk about perspective and you're up against the elements and all of a sudden that happens and, you know, all the other variables that, you know, you don't ever think when I'm going to start as a self-employed artist that these were going to be the scenarios that would play out. You just, would you?
No, of course not. But then, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, I like to kind of challenge myself. And I wouldn't have been happy kind of, you know, hanging up my boots as an artist unless I'd tried to do or had mastered doing murals at that scale.
For real.
Do you know what I mean? That was like the next step for me. It's like, right, okay, now I need to take those pictures to that scale, you know. So, and I'm still, you know, still trying to learn the art of you know, creating murals.
That's because
it's, yeah. But it's fun.
Creates your stamina, though. It's fun. The more you do things like that and you come out the other side, that's just stamina building.
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah. So, you know, it had to be done.
These are international artist dilemmas. You know what I mean? We're talking to an international artist here. It's fucking great. But when you did start as going down that road, you know, what was the jump like? Did you feel it coming that it was on its way, that you wanted to make a commodity out of what you were doing, and you knew that the road to this place was going to be rough and the naysayers and the pressures on you?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you know, I put it off for many years, you know, actually being fully submerged as just doing my art, you know. So I spent many years kind of, I had a company, we were doing like workshops with kids. So
nice.
I've always been doing art, but not my own art, you know. Yeah. So we were one of the first companies doing work graph workshops. So that's always, you know, the community stuff is always a passion of mine, working with young people.
For sure, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I did that for many, many years, and then I'd just be painting the legal walls and stuff at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I was still doing my own thing, but not full-time, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, increasingly I was like, you know, I felt like I needed to, there was something was missing, you know? I always knew that I'd never be happy unless I gave my own art, you know, a real try.
Worst thing is regretting it. You've got to do it.
Exactly. And then kind of things happened at the right time. Like, so we were working with a lot of youth centres and stuff. Mm. And then the Conservatives came into power and just killed all of the youth centres. I don't want to get political either, because that's just going to make me miserable. So anyway.
Especially this time of the life.
You know. Which was shit.
Mm.
So, you know, all of our work, almost my company just almost vanished overnight, you know what I mean? Which was really sad, do you know what I mean? Sure. But then I was like, right, what am I going to do? I was like, okay, this is it. Mm. This is it now. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Right, I'm going to go for it.
Stabilize.
And it was tough, man, because I was at a point, you know, when you get older in life, it's more and more difficult because you have more and more things you have to pay out for, more and more responsibilities.
Mm.
Yeah. By that point, I've got two kids.
Yeah.
I live in London. I'm like, shit, this ain't going to be easy, but I've got to do it. And then you know, and we were doing a few little bits here and there, so it wasn't like completely jumping off a cliff.
It was,
do you know what I mean?
It was a transition.
Yeah, it wasn't like completely jumping off a cliff, obviously, you know, and I had lots of contacts. So I was doing little jobs for other people.
Yeah.
You know, like doing solar stuff, like painting someone's logo and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it was like a gradual kind of thing. But then eventually I was like, no, I'm not doing any commercial stuff. I'm just going to do my thing. And that's a tough, when you make that decision, you say, right, I'm not going to do any commercial work. Mm. I'm just going to do my style, what I want to do. That's when it
all
becomes
or nothing.
Really tough. All or nothing. Yeah, yeah.
And well, that, you know, if you don't mind me asking.
But I had to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here now, probably. There'll be a whole different kind of set of parameters that you work by. You
know? Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, what were the immediate L's you hit? What were the first things you were just like, fuck, okay, we've just got them. The stabilizers are off. I'm doing my own thing. But what was the first thing from a personal, from a family, supplies point of view? I mean, you know, you something always forfeits. What was the first hit?
I think it's like just, you know, there's so many elements to what I do now. You know, like selling canvases, like the whole kind of gallery game and stuff. That's a minefield. Yeah. You know, and I didn't know many, you know, because most of my friends were kind of graph writers. They hadn't transitioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't know many people who'd transitioned into this other world, you know? So, you know, it was quite like, how do you do that, man? Do you know what I mean? How do you deal with these people? So it's the business side of it.
Mm.
It's the business element of it.
Yeah.
How do I turn what I do, keep integrity, but still but turn it into a business? That is, and that's something I'm still learning now. You know,
that's so hard for me.
And you know, and I was ripped off a few loads of times. And I started off with the galleries, you know, like work going missing, just loads of stories. But then when you start to meet people and you start to travel, everybody's had those similar experiences, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's started out.
Yeah. Was there resistance from a scene point of view? I mean, this is the age old dilemma of like. Giving as much as you can to a culture you love and appeasing certain aspects of that, but then this you've got to try and somehow find your commodity, or else you know you're not winning either way.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. You know, well, you know the that whole kind of graffiti street art kind of thing, you know. It's like sell out kind of thing. It's like, oh man,
it's getting better,
you know.
Though, I must admit.
I hope so,
yeah.
You know, I mean, again, it depends. You go to a certain place in London and everything's dogged out and stuff, but you go to other places and it's respected, so
yeah,
it really varies
one.
In London, doesn't it, you know.
Yeah.
Where you go, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I hope it's getting better, because you know, at the end of the day, we're all just trying to you know, paint walls and create something nice, so I don't you know, it's there shouldn't be this whole divide, I don't think. I've always fought against that divide, because I kind of sit on the fence between the two camps.
And you've come through the whole, you know what, Birmingham and Manchester and Bristol, I'm often totally entertained 360 about the approach. I know writers out there that go hardcore, but then have stickers,
and then do
that street art. They do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it just dynamically, it says to people that it has to be all skills on a high level.
Yeah, 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 definitely, man, definitely. That's right. You know, when you travel to Europe as well, it's the same, you know. Yeah.
All high levels, every single aspect of the culture.
I think, to be honest, with this whole kind of beef thing, I think it's mainly East London, to be honest. You know, it's mainly the Shoreditch thing, you know. And there is a lot of shit street art. There has been for years, you know. And there's a, you know, that's why I started painting around there, because I was sick of seeing this shit work, man. It's like, come on, man.
I should live
around You shouldn't
there.
Be painting walls, man.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
should
yeah.
still be drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, man, you know, it's serious,
yeah, yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
but you're
again,
going, yeah,
again, that's a graph. You know, if you weren't ready to paint a wall, you know, you didn't paint a wall
that's
back then.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
for
I mean?
Real.
You didn't take someone out
with
some whack piece. You learned your skill on paper or in your backyard or in your local park or something
before
you went over someone.
Yeah, don't
you
take
know what
it
I mean?
To that,
so
that place. Don't take it there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing that kind of annoyed me and probably annoys a lot of people.
Mm.
You know.
Do you think that sentiment that you mentioned there that applies to Hall of Fames?
Yeah, 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 for sure. Well, that's all we had, wasn't it? Hall of Fames, you know? So if you're doing legal stuff. And that was the rule, man. You know, you didn't just, you know, you didn't take a burner out with, like, a chrome. You know, you had to burn it.
Mm.
You had to burn that burner. You had to do something better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was it. So you were always trying to up your game. You know what I mean?
Where do you think that? So,
that's you know, progressing and always making an effort. Always, you know, that still lives in me now. Mm. You know what I mean? Every piece I do, I'm trying to burn the piece I did before. Do you know what I mean?
So the personal,
And then I'm trying to burn the person next to me.
Yeah.
I come out to battle. You know.
Yeah.
When I'm at a festival, you know, I'm like, I'm going to rock the baddest wall.
Yeah.
That's the mentality. That's the hip hop mentality, isn't it?
Yeah. Where do you think that's gone though, from a street point of view? Because like you're saying, you go out to burn. You're going out to the Hall of Fame or public area.
Wherever.
Do you think that's still hold? I mean, there are.
Yeah, there's lots of people. Of course,
killing
man.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, man. Mm. Yeah. Definitely. You know, there's a lot of good people painting in London right now.
Really doing it.
Yeah. Worldwide as well. Yeah, for sure. People are pushing stuff, man. You know what I mean? You know.
Scarily so.
You know. Exactly, man. You know, and that's what it's about. Again, you know, graph was always about pushing forward, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I get annoyed with the people who are kind of stuck with these kind of rules of graffiti, which graffiti wasn't really always about rules, I don't think. It was about progressing and moving forward, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It wasn't about rules. You got to have arrows in your thing. You got to have highlights on that side. Mm. So many people like that, particularly in this country, which is like, nah, man. You know,
it's
what
kind
I mean?
Of done, isn't it? if you come from the manuscripts of the early biblical reference points that we talk about, and you know what the basic principles are, it's with restriction, you should be able to create outwardly and just like, I feel that way with music for sure.
Yeah. Again, yeah, that fits perfectly with music. Yeah. It's the same thing, man. Yeah. Mm.
Is there anything you ain't done yet? Is there anything where you're just like, yo, I need to tackle that, or I may not be quite on par with, I need to progress with that? Anything?
Well, like I said earlier, like the kind of digital stuff, you know, I need to teach myself that, man. That's gonna be helpful with, you know, with jobs and stuff, man. I'd love to learn that. It's just finding the time, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, obviously, you know, there's technologies. Man, there's loads of stuff being an artist, you know. I want to go back to loads of stuff as well, you know. Like when I was at college, I was doing loads of printmaking, lino cutting, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I need to go back to doing that, doing what I do now, but putting that into those kind of skills sets. So, you know, there's always so much to do if you're inspired. And luckily, I'm still inspired. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. Sure.
When you stop becoming inspired, that's when it's like.
Yeah.
That can happen, especially right now.
Yeah.
When you get, it's sometimes difficult to be inspired right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got to go back to those, like you say, those previously walked but not quite perfected. Like you say, the lino cutting, for instance. You're in a very, and this is again just me musing, you're very much in a lucky place where. A lot of graph writers, not all of them, but many of them, rely on the subject being their letters and their name and how broadly big and however manipulable they can make those letters.
Yeah.
But you've managed to transfer your style across different subjects, which in turn, you could go to lino.
Definitely.
It's
definitely,
not restricted
man.
To the
no,
name.
No, exactly. And what you're saying there, you know, is how I felt when I was doing letters. I felt trapped. You know, I was just doing pieces. It was always about just the same four letters. And it you can feel really trapped by that, man. Mm. And that's why I felt I needed to break out. Do you know what I mean? Because I felt it too confined.
Mm.
The graffiti scene and the graffiti world, it was too confined for me.
Did you ever fear that breaking out? Did you ever think to yourself, you know what, is this gonna
I didn't
work?
Fear it because I was always kind of doing it anyway, kind of just, you know, I wasn't not publicly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At college and stuff, I was always experimenting, but it wasn't public.
Yeah.
But so it was quite you know, it was quite fearful when I first started doing, you know, doing all these crazy stuff on the walls with the graphic. People were like, what the hell is that?
Because this was at a time where it just wasn't the thing, was it?
Yeah. I mean, I did a whole show. Actually, it was in the Brick Lane Gallery, and it was like, when was it, man? It was like early 2000 or no, not even. I think it was like 98 or something. I can't even remember. And it was before street art had got really
90
big.
98. Can we just get an amen on that if you're out there looking? Give us a like on that. A fucking man. Come on.
And I did a whole show, and it was so it wasn't graph. Yeah, it wasn't graphic art. It was too ahead of its time, put it that way.
Mad.
And I need to share some pictures of it at some point. And literally, people, I didn't sell one thing. And people were like, what is this, man? And I remember some people saying to me, no, you can't be both. You can't be like a fine artist and a graffiti artist. You have to choose. And then fast forward 10 years, and it's really cool to be both. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just it's so frustrating. It's like, man, what are you talking about?
You're too ahead.
And then all of a sudden, it's cool to be, mixing all these things together. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And at the time, people were like, nah. Yeah. So, you know, it was just a bit too...
Yeah.
You know,
too advanced,
man.
People's progress is a slow process, isn't it?
You can't
rush that. If you're too ahead of the curve, you know, you don't get a chance to monetize. You become that cult classic.
That inspires
others. You know, New York Dolls.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's, you know, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool because, you know, like for me, I want to inspire other artists.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'd like to be remembered by other artists as the guy who was pushing things and doing things, something a bit different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than the general public.
Mm.
You know, I want to be that guy.
Mm.
Really, that's more important to me.
Keep pushing,
do you know what I mean?
Yourself that then in turn adds value to other people that
are
influenced by it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's coming from somebody I feel, you know, with age and with understanding that the creative arts is an organism that you can't hold, you can't be precious about. You can't be precious about it.
No. Yeah.
Everything's plagiarised to some degree. Everything's owned by someone else in some capacity.
Yeah. Of course, man. Yeah. Wow, it's getting deep.
But it's a funny fact, isn't it? Because we all like have this kind of like... There's the demon in us that's just like, that's my idea, you know.
Yeah, no, you can't be like that, man. Nah. You can't be like that. I mean, God, that would be crazy. You know what I mean? Mm. We all do, like I say, who you can't say, oh, you can't do highlight, you can't do shines like that. You know what I mean? It'd be stupid, man, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know. Everybody kind of nibbles a little bit, but, you know, unfortunately, there's too many artists who... It's again about being original. That they're just like taking, they've got like maybe four artists they really like, and say a little bit from that guy, a little bit from that guy, you know what I mean? And then they're just kind of put them together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, that's, you know.
It's the take on it, but it's kind of a bit like that guy that they go, like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But also there's the element of burning, like you're saying, now going back to the athleticism, the competitive side to it, that's the shit. Because if somebody's trying to, you know, grab the coattails, it's like you just got to come with different signature moves.
Yeah. Of course, man. Of course. Yeah. That's it, man. You know, and then obviously once you've got your kind of style, then you've got to hold on to that style and own that style as well.
Yeah.
Because once, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of people trying to bite my shit.
Right.
But it looks awful.
Oh, I didn't want to say anything.
But, you know, a lot. And it's like, you know, so I'm like, right, so I'm always trying to up the gear, making it more and more technical, more and more harder to copy, you know. So it's one thing having a style, but it's another thing actually holding on to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We'll see. Because if you'd be sleeping one day and all of a sudden someone's just taking your whole style and all of a sudden they're like, boom.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Hey, I'm still here.
And you didn't see him coming.
You ain't remembered, man. Yeah. This other geezer's just take. Yeah. It can happen if you're sleeping. So that's the thing, you know?
Can I ask you something? Can I ask you something on that very same subject? Because this is something that I can often be troubled with. It's my girlfriend and family will often testify. Just relentless overthinking, powering through things in a real kind of industrious cookie cutter. I've got to get this right. Perfectionist, creative, be your first over the line kind of guy. And of course, you know, that comes with a lot of compassion and appreciation for the art and the love of everything to do with whatever it is I'm in. Do you feel like there is sacrifices that comes when you're constantly in the eye of the storm as a creative in your own head of what, you know, the things around you suffer? Because I think with a lot of people, it's that age-old scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, you know, it's stressful, man, especially when you get to... you get to a certain level and you've got, you know, people following you and you know, it's all very well getting to the certain, you know, middle kind of ground, but it's actually kind of, then you've got to maintain your work at that level.
Mm.
You know, that's the difficult bit.
Notching up each time.
Notching up, you know, so people are expecting something better and better or at least that same level every time.
Yeah.
So it's that pressure. That can be quite intense.
For real.
Do you know what I mean? And then there's obviously... You know, we have to do this whole social media thing right now, which again is just—it's intense, man. You know, you got to think about that, and you know, I do everything myself, man, pretty much. So, that's
good, man.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Different.
You know,
heads
even
going.
Now on the way here, I was like thinking, oh, I've got to post something. What am I going to post? You know what I mean? It's like whacking my brain, and I'm looking at loads of old pictures. I'm like, no, I don't even like that anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
I can take an hour in itself.
I need to post. So it's that pressure. I've got to keep on doing something new, and so you know, it's kind of. But if you use it in a positive way, it can be a motivation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you use it in the right way, you know, think right. I've got to post at least one new thing a week.
Yeah.
So that keeps you kind of going.
That's right.
So look, if you use it in the right way, it can actually be beneficial.
But all of your time is completely back to back, changing heads, doing different things.
Well, yeah, and being a dad of three kids.
What I'm
saying. You know what I mean?
Three kids.
So you know what I mean?
Hey, kids. Hold tight.
So you know, life is busy.
Yeah.
And you know. And obviously, I've got a partner as well. There's lots of things you have to think about.
The whole time partner as well.
So, you know what I mean? So it's so many different heads, then, that you have to have, you know. So it's... And then...
You come
paying
here.
Paying the rent.
Paying the rent.
You
come
know, and then, like you say, and then finding the money to live in London, man. Yeah. Which ain't cheap.
No.
So, you know, yeah.
It's a constant spin of plates.
You know. And that's why, you know... And that's why a lot of people do choose the easier route of doing the more commercial stuff because you've got bigger money, bigger paycheck, you know, more regular work.
Yeah.
Which is fair. And I totally understand that. And I totally respect that. I've got no disrespect for people who do that. And occasionally I've had to do that, but not publicly.
Yeah.
So, you know, So it's a real tightrope. Like you say, about the integrity, keeping the bills, you know, in order, everything.
It's good for people to hear this. It really is, because, again, you're world-renowned, you're high-regarded, but I don't think people realise, I mean, the mechanics that lead up to you posting that picture on Instagram or that video or sitting around here having the chat, there's a whole load of things that are... You know, and it's a butterfly effect. If something goes wrong at this point here, next thing you're up on a cherry pick and it'll be breaking your hand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not all smooth.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you make it look smooth. You make it look smooth. It does.
Believe me, it's not.
Yeah. Fucking great.
It's a you know. There's many times you just think, oh man, this is precious too much. You know what I mean? You know, it's tough. But you know, but then. it's when you get those little bits of feedback, and this is again one of the good things of social media, because you can get that feedback directly from people
straight
now.
Away, yeah.
You get that message from someone who says, oh, you know, your work's inspiration or it's inspired me to start painting. Or I go down, you know, when I was painting the murals in my local area last year, I had a guy come up to me. He was like, yo, Sens. Yeah? And I was like, yeah. He went, yeah, remember me? Remember you taught me at a pupil referral unit in Croydon? You taught me art, man. And now I'm an artist myself and you're a massive influence. It was
That's
like,
huge.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Moments like that. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
Do you know what I mean?
And the first people that actually, and I had actually,
that's what makes the struggle worthwhile.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever shouted out REQ from Brighton. Fuck the stoppist. He came to my youth centre when I was about 19, and he had a production unit, and he had a microphone, and he had graffiti. Wicked. He actually came with it all himself. I need to pick that up actually, because he definitely you have to take your hat off to the
for sure, man, for sure. You know, so yeah, it's moments like that, those little bits of feedback.
Yeah,
that's what makes the all the kind of struggle and the turmoil you do go through. You know. Even if you're at my level, you do go through, you know?
Yeah.
You're always questioning your work still.
Mm.
That's just the way it is. That's never going to go away.
It keeps you hungry.
If you're an artist and you're fully content with everything you do,
there's a problem.
Then you need to hang it, but there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Something wrong, man. It's just not right.
Yeah.
Hang your boots up if you get to that point. You're content with everything you do. That's it. It's over.
Yeah. But there is like your style.
You know, I mean, obviously you can't, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Your style, it certainly feels owned, you know? And you said something earlier on that I totally could relate to. Stay hungry for sure. Always innovate. But your style, only you can do it. There has to be ownership of that, right? Like you.
Yeah.
From a personal private place, you have to kind of own that shit, don't you?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Because, you know, as I said, people send me stuff all the time, like, check this guy. You know, there's people just out and out biting this. That's ridiculous, man. And, you know, your initial reaction is like, oh, fucking hell, I've got to call him out, I've got to say something. And then, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, maybe it's a kind of a compliment, but, you know, I still don't agree with it. I still, you know, I've had to message people personally and say, look, dude, man, you know.
We're doing,
man. You need to be just focusing on your own thing, you know what I mean? I wouldn't publicly post about it, but, you know, so I message them sometimes.
Yeah. Just a little,
word. Little bit of advice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it's too close.
You know, but the thing is, you know, my style is something that, it's been developed over over, you know, 30 years of painting, you know, so you can't just go pick up a can and do it.
No, that's right.
So, you know, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Respect the architects.
You know, whereas some people's styles are much easier to emulate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But obviously, because mine's so many layers of
techniques,
so using the fat cap that way, you know, just one stroke.
Yeah.
The fade in, the colour. There's so many elements to it.
Yeah.
It's not easily biteable.
Do you think
that's right. And I always go and try and make it.
So they've gone and done it. They've tried, and I get it.
Yeah, of course.
It means they've looked into. Do you think?
I just straight copied the image
on
the wall.
Yeah.
It's which is, I find that crazy, man.
Yeah.
You know, of course. Like when we were young, we copied every piece from Subway Art, but on paper at home. On a wall. You wouldn't go and do. You didn't go and paint a scene piece on a wall.
It's one step above that, isn't it? Copying someone else's to the degree. Doesn't matter whether it's a female instead of a male. You can see the tell hallmarks of your technique or any writer's technique if they're copying them. So yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
There's a sign at the door. No biting allowed.
Say no, kids.
Yeah. First they're smoking and then they're biting. Say no.
Just say no. I'm not going to do the rap from it. I'm not going to do the,
So DJing's the thing. What do you play?
Well, yeah. I mean, like you say, I've always been into music. Like, I was buying records from as long as I've been kind of experimenting with graph, really. So, I mean, look, I'm one of them people, I'm one of them rare kind of people. I love hip-hop, I love funk, I love a lot of kind of early 80s kind of groove. So I was more always into my more electronic stuff, even from the electro days and stuff like that. So I play a lot of kind of new electro stuff.
Sick.
A lot of kind of Detroit-y stuff.
Nice.
And a lot of what people would say kind of deep techno kind of stuff.
That's so fucking cool.
I mix it all together. So not many people in my culture who listen to that kind of music, but again, it's music with soul. It's electronic music with soul. But I mix it with funk and stuff. I just kind of...
See it even in pieces.
Again, it's like, yeah.
Electronic side of it, the atmosphere.
Yeah. So electronic music's, big influence for sure. But it's got to have the funk and soul to it as well.
Yeah,
you know,
so
my music taste is eclectic as the influences of my art, really.
Opened my eyes to your... to having that as an influence musically. Now when I look at your... envisage your work, I'm thinking... Oh, yeah. Like, not directly.
No, of course. Yeah.
But the way your mind works, I'm looking at it now thinking,
Yeah, of course. Yeah. There's that futurism, that kind of electronic kind of flow.
With authentic techniques and a funk that is, of an era.
Yeah, man.
Still.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. It's fucking great. Wow. Well, thank you so much for passing through, my brother.
Yeah, man, of course. That's been a pleasure, man. Yeah, of course.
The pressure's always on me when I know people have travelled so far. I'm like,
it's been good, man. It's been good.
I really appreciate it.
You've pressed me on a lot of things, man. It's been good, man. You know?
We don't let anyone lose.
It's reflective, man, isn't it? It's reflective when you talk about, your own career and stuff.
For sure.
You know? It really is. I think it's good. It's good. It's hard, but it's good as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think a lot of people will benefit from the conversation, from the ground up. I think that's
hopefully, hopefully. Yeah, definitely. That's the idea, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man. Wicked. Yeah.
Sense cool. You're a star.
Wicked, man.
Woo! Not another normal day in the office. The man like Sense inside the place. Big shout out to everybody listening. You know what to do. Sharing is caring. Share and share alike. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah, man.
Stay lucky, people. See you next time. Peace. Ha ha!